Today on Path of Grace.
But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. My friend, Christ is risen. That's good news. Your faith is worthwhile. We have great truth to rest in and fantastic news to share. Christ is risen, and as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 15, which, by the way, is an amazing chapter where in one little phrase, Paul tells us the ultimate outcome of everything, God's goal, God's purpose, whatever you want to call it. And you can look it up on your own time. I'll tell you where it is. It's in verse 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28. That's not what we're going to talk about today, though. We're going to talk about something else in this chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul deals with the issue of some folks not believing in the resurrection. And so he writes to kind of set their thinking straight regarding the resurrection. And he helps the reader, that's me and you, to see how hugely important the resurrection of Christ is. It's central, it's key, everything rests upon it. It's where our hope lies, really. Now, if you have a Bible handy, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want you to take a peek at verse 17. And it doesn't matter what translation you happen to have handy. Most of them get this section pretty darn good. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, it says this: if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Let that sink in. How important is the resurrection? If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. He's saying if Jesus didn't rise, regardless of how sincere you may be in your religious devotion, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Regardless of any behavior modification you have tried to put yourself through, which is what religion does, isn't it all about that? It's about your performance, your behavior, fixing yourselves. Paul says, you know what? If Christ didn't raise from the dead, no matter how much you try to fix yourself, you're still in your sin. The curse of death and sin, which all of humanity is under, is going to take you to the grave and leave you there. You have no hope. There is no escape. Death wins if Christ is not risen. But what if Christ has risen? The whole thing is then reversed. If Christ has risen, which he has, your faith is worthwhile. You are not in your sins. Think about that. Christ is risen. Faith in him is worth having. Why? Because you are not in your sins. Worshiping God is worth doing because we are not in our sins. Praising Jesus and telling other people about him is worth doing because he is risen and we are not in our sins. He really is a successful Savior. He died, and then just as he said he would, he rose again from the dead, and his life, death, and resurrection split time in half. It's the focal point of world history. And because of what he did, the curse of death and sin has been broken. Ultimately, death does not win. Death will be destroyed, Scripture tells us. Paul tells us in another place, because of what Christ has done, death has lost its sting. That's good news. It allows us to live with hope. Hope right here, right now, going all the way into eternity. To know that the grave is not the end. It's not the end. And think about this. Your weakness, your frailty, and your sin. And all of us have weakness, frailty, and sin, don't we? It is not a barrier between you and God. Religion tells you it is, but it is not a barrier. Christ has taken it away. God was in Christ conciliating you and me to him, Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans. Any alienation that's between you and God, according to Paul and his letter to the Colossians, it's all in your mind. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Paul tells us that Christ died for our sins and was raised for our justifying. He was raised for our justification. That is an amazing word. One translation tells us he was raised for our acquittal, to absolve us, The word absolve means to declare free from blame, guilt, or responsibility. That's a powerful word. What about an acquittal? He was raised for our acquittal. It's defined this way: judicial deliverance from a criminal charge on a verdict of not guilty. Now, we all know that we are guilty. We have all sinned and fallen short. It's part of being born as a human being on this planet in this age. And Paul makes that point in the first three chapters of his letter to the Romans. Before talking about Christ being raised for our acquittal, raised for our justification, he spends three chapters painfully driving home the point that all of humanity in and of ourselves, whether you're an atheist, whether you're a religious person, whether you're a moralist, we are all unrighteous. We have all sinned and fallen short. There is none righteous, no, not one. That's the high point of his message, or the low point, depending on how you want to look at it. But then he goes on and talks about Christ through his resurrection justifying us. Because Christ died and rose, we have been justified. We are not guilty. We have been acquitted. We have been absolved. Christ said this: I did not come into the world to condemn, but to save. Scripture tells us he came to demonstrate or to prove God's love for you and me. When it comes to our being justified, Paul tells us in Romans that Christ came to justify the ungodly. Man, if you ever look at yourself and you say, oh my goodness, I'm just ungodly. Well, you know what? Christ came to justify you. That's good news for you, isn't it? And this good news is so grand. Paul tells us some amazing things about how Father sees us in Christ because of what Jesus has done. In Colossians, we're told that Christ has presented us to the Father as holy, blameless, and above reproach. Why are we seen as holy, blameless, and above reproach in God's sight, even though we've all sinned and fallen short? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul gives us the answer. He who knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin for us. Think about that. He who knew no sin became my sin and your sin. And then Paul tells us the result, that we would become the righteousness of God in him. The great exchange took place. He became our sin. We become his righteousness. Again, that's good news. Even while we are still living in these mortal and corruptible bodies full of a lot of weakness and struggles, Father doesn't see us in our sin and weakness. He sees us in his Son. Aren't you glad? As human beings, it's easy for us to get sidelined or to sideline ourselves because of our flaws and sin. Religion teaches us that it's about you and me shaping up and fixing ourselves and working hard so that maybe God will have mercy upon us in the end. On the other hand, the gospel of grace, shared by the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, tells us something different. It tells us the truth. He tells us it's not about us working to try and pay for our fallen condition, a condition we were born into as a result of what Adam did. He tells us it's not about us trying to work and earn acceptance from God. Our part is to believe this good news, to believe that Father already accepts us and that there is nothing for us to pay. It's all been done through Christ. He is the Savior, not a partial Savior, not a potential Savior. He is the Savior. He didn't do his part. Now you have to do your part to finish the work. No, he said, it is finished. And then he was raised for our justifying. And the joy and peace and life that comes to those who truly believe it and rest in it, oh, to know that God doesn't hate you, but that he loves you, and that he proved that love, he demonstrated that love on the cross. See, again, God was sending the message that there is nothing for you or me to pay, nothing for us to do in an attempt to justify ourselves. Christ is our Redeemer. He is our justifier. He is the propitiation or the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, Paul tells us, but for the whole world. John the Baptist pointed at Christ, and he said, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, how many people, even believers, haven't grasped this truth? They go through life overridden with guilt. They're heavy laden. They're weary. They know Jesus died for them, but yet they still think there's something that they've got to do to somehow finish the work for him. And they become overwhelmed with the reality of their own lack, their own weakness, the sin state they were born into. Have you ever been there? I have. Afraid to draw near to God. Afraid he won't accept us. Again, as Paul said in Colossians 1, alienating ourselves from God in our minds. And it gets so terrible when we have a really bad day. People walk through life in bondage, the bondage of religious lies, and they're trying harder to do better, to do something to make up for their fallen condition, or to try to earn right standing with God. They're in bondage to self-condemnation, beating down of self, trying to punish and inflict pain on self. Have you ever spent a portion of your life beating yourself up, trying to punish yourself, somehow thinking that that is what God wants, that you're somehow through that making yourself right with God? That thinking is so wrong. It's not what God wants, and it's not the truth. He has gone out of his way to make the point that there is nothing for you to pay. When Christ died on the cross, he declared, "Tetelestai," it is finished. That means it was paid in full. If it was paid in full, what is left to pay? The answer is nothing. Now, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's read from verse 13 down through verse 22. Starting in verse 13 down through 22, Paul says this: "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." Now, look at verse 20 all the way down through 22. This is awesome. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by Adam came death," where did our problem originate? With Adam. He's the one who did it for all of us. "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." My friend, Christ is risen. That's good news. Your faith is worthwhile. We have great truth to rest in and fantastic news to share. Christ is risen, and as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. My name is James Flanders. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your prayers, your encouragement, and your support. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.